Okay, awesome. We are live everywhere. So, hi everybody. Welcome back to episode number 5 of PowerCore 360 Volley Talk. This week we are going to talk about how to compete and how women's sport is blowing up in the best ways possible, from viewership to people at games to just athletes breaking records in general and how they're competing in at the highest levels. We have two hosts with us here today. So I'm Darren Fiakuski, your regular host. And then we have Kelly Fiesler and Nicole Edelman, I believe is how you say it.
Yep. Yes.
And I'll let you guys introduce yourself. So Kelly, if you want to start.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fiesler, and I work with PowerCore 360. I'm a physical therapist that works with athletes, mostly sports medicine based, and getting athletes returned to the sport that they're competing in. I have coached junior national volleyball for about 15 years at the open level, and I'm just here to talk about all things female sports tonight.
Awesome. And Nicole, if you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Nicole Edelman. I'm from Colorado. I'm a PowerCore 360 coach. Played at all levels of the game. I played in high school and then went on to play collegiately at the University of Colorado. I was setting and hitting and then just finished my 7th professional season. I played in Europe for 6 years and then most recently with Athletes Unlimited here back in the States. So yeah, really happy to be here. Exciting times. Good topic.
Yeah. Thank you guys for being here today. I'm super excited to dive into today's topic. So we're going to be talking about all things women's sport, from volleyball to basketball and anything else that we have been seeing that has really blown up, from Nebraska selling out over 95,000 people in their football stadium, Iowa doing 55,000 in their stadium, Caitlin Clark breaking records, the new professional leagues in the States. We're going to kind of dive into everything. So audience, if you guys have any comments or questions or anything for us to kind of dive into on that topic, feel free to comment it or anything else that you want us to kind of answer today. And we'll be sure to do our best to answer those questions. So to get started, I really want to start with what we are just seeing overall this, I guess school year isn't even done yet, but from, I guess, August to now, this past school year, what we were seeing from the volleyball season starting out, and then we'll get into basketball a little bit later. So I think this volleyball season started out with a huge bang, obviously, with Nebraska hosting their outdoor game at their football field with getting over 92,000 was the official like number or something like that, which is a crazy number. They also had over 500,000 viewers on that game, which is also a great number for just a preseason game. So what are your guys' thoughts on this game in particular for Nebraska, and what does it mean going forward for preseason games for women's college volleyball?
Well, first of all, it's iconic, right? That they kind of set the stage for what could women's athletics look like at the collegiate level. And I think it was incredible, the number of people that came out and got involved. I mean, Nebraska in general is such a sports state. They really support all of their athletic teams, which is amazing. But I think it was, you know, incredible to see the turnout for women's sports, because I'm a little bit older than you two, but in my life, you know, as an athlete, that it just wasn't the same as what they're seeing today. And it's really cool to see how the older women who kind of paved the way to this place are now seeing the younger athletes making it just this incredible moment in women's sports. I mean, for you, Nicole, you played at the college level and the professional level. Like, for you, what's your perspective on how far it's come since you started playing?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. It was so iconic, right? At the time, I was actually in France. And I think it's one thing if you're in like an indoor stadium and you've got 10,000, 20,000 people, that's already like a lot of eyes on you, right? But then just having the support from the athletic department for them to do it with 90,000 people, right, in such a big stadium in an outdoor arena is definitely really, really special. And so, yeah, I mean, it was the first I guess, outdoor game that kind of happened. And I'm really excited to see it kind of become from the first iconic 90,000 game volleyball event, right? That was viewed. And then, like you said, with all, I think it was 500,000 viewers on YouTube or all of the platforms and stuff, and seeing other universities do it, right? Or even see it on the pro level. There's a ton of pro volleyball now in the States. And so, yeah, I think it's just such an exciting time to see the sport grow, and we're past due. Volleyball is such a big sport. I mean, from you guys that are watching, if you guys are at like qualifiers, right? It's just madness if you think about having qualifiers with like 200 courts, right? And volleyball going from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. sometimes, right? Like even that in itself, I think, is now translating over into the college game in the pro seasons as well. So it's super exciting. It's really cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so exciting to see. And like you said, I hope to see it again in the future for preseason games. Hopefully next year, there's another one that we can see a large fan group going to. But even at the pro level, like you mentioned, we're seeing some really big fan bases come out and support. Nicole, as a professional player, do you want to kind of dive into what we're seeing on the professional level across the different leagues and kind of for people, if they maybe don't know what the different leagues are and what the attendance is looking like and viewership is looking like for those leagues?
Yeah, sure. So it's a very exciting time on the pro side as well, right? Like when I came out of college, there was no professional opportunities in the States. So we went from zero leagues for a very long time, like decades of no leagues. And now starting in the fall, there will actually be three leagues stateside, which is just like so cool. So Athletes Unlimited, that season is in the fall, and they have a partnership with ESPN. So the viewership is way more just on the ESPN platform side, right? Not so much with like the indoor arenas. And so we played those games in Arizona. I think last season it was the third consecutive season, which marked it made it like the longest pro women's volleyball league in the States ever. And again, it was just 3 years, right? And so we hope to see that keep growing. And then, the season going on right now is Real Pro Volleyball. And so that is super exciting. That has kind of a more standard look to it. I think there's 8-ish teams in different cities. And so, you've got coast to coast. You've got, you know, Orlando on one side, San Diego on the other, Nebraska, Grand Rapids, some other teams in the middle. And so, they're seeing great turnout for their games as well. To no surprise, Nebraska is breaking those records on the attendance on the pro side as well. So they're consistently seeing around 10,000 people for games in their, event centers or anything like that. But everybody else, whether they're the Omaha Supernovas or not, are seeing thousands of people come to the game. So it's super, super exciting. And then the last one, which I don't have too much information on, but it's coming up, also going to be really exciting, is Love is starting this fall. I think it's just a great time for the professional athletes to just get so many opportunities to play at home. And again, there's still those opportunities to play overseas. And then for all the volleyball fans in the communities to go to the games, and for the younger athletes, right? It's just the best time to see volleyball. And it's just really cool, right? You can go to games in person or also catch it on all different platforms. I think, like I said, AU is with ESPN. Real Pro, I think, is with CBS Sports. And I'm sure Love is going to pick up a streaming platform too. So tons of volleyball to watch. And it's super, super important to watch as much as you can if you're trying to develop as a player.
Totally. I agree with that. And I think it's super cool because I know even when I was in high school, which I like to think wasn't that long ago, but maybe it was, there wasn't any pro leagues that you could aspire to play for in the States. And now my sister, who is still in high school, now has three different pro leagues that she can aspire to play for after she's done playing in college, which I think is like a super cool thing. She can go and watch these pro athletes play and really start to look up to them like other sports, especially men's sports, get to do in the States. For basically whatever sport you're playing. So it's really fun that we're starting to see that not only women's volleyball, but also the WNBA is obviously catching a lot of traction as well. So with that being said, I kind of want to switch gears and dive into some March Madness / basketball talk, because basketball has also been a huge thing that is blowing up this year. And I personally have loved watching it, especially Caitlin Clark. I think everybody can kind of second that, I would say. But they also had an outdoor game that drew over 55,000 people, which is, again, incredible. Such a good moment for women's sports right there again. And hopefully in the future, they can do something like that as well. So we're seeing that not only on the volleyball side, but also the basketball side, which is super exciting. Also, it is obviously March Madness, and the Final Four has now been, I guess,
set.
Yeah. And I was in there, which I know I am happy about. Kelly, you look like you're happy about it.
I'm a Hawkeye. Yeah.
What are your opinions, Nicole? Do you have anybody you're cheering for?
I'm open. I'm a big Caitlin Clark fan, but I know that's like a fan favorite. Also, you know, you always can see the underdogs win. So I'm open.
Okay.
Very political answer for you.
Hey, you know what's interesting though? Like you talked about, like you love Caitlin Clark and she's a fan favorite. What do you guys think makes her that fan favorite? Like obviously she's breaking all these records and doing amazing, and not even just say women basketball, like all basketball. She's breaking both genders, which is really cool. But why do you guys think she's such a fan favorite? Like what makes her, you know, the person we want to all watch?
Yeah. So I think for me, it's the competitiveness instantly. Like, I think you don't really see that a lot. Not that you don't see that a lot, but I just don't think there's been opportunities for people to see that. There hasn't been the platforms there for everybody to watch and see, like, before. And so now that that's really out there and people can see it and watch consistently just at the same level like it has been at men's for a while now, I think that you can see that competitiveness, and I think people really enjoy that. Also, I think that she's just like a great player. I think her, obviously overall, she's a great player and has a great stat line. She can pass, she can go to the net, or not the net, she can go to the basket, and all these things. But obviously I think that her threes are pretty fun to watch as well. It's pretty insane, some of the shots she makes. So that's kind of what I think. Audience, we'd love to hear what you think, along with Nicole, what you think.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I kind of see it as how like Steph changed the game of basketball, because he started shooting from anywhere, right? And then I think there was a little bit of the discussion of like, oh, are we going to see a shooter like that again in the game of basketball, right? And then when you see people like Caitlin, who can also shoot from anywhere and just has like such smooth technique, right? Which she's probably put thousands of hours in to work on that, and see her succeed and excel is just super, super cool. And I honestly think this year too, for the All-Star weekend, the NBA All-Star weekend, there was a 3-point shooting contest between Steph and Sabrina, right? Who's also in the WNBA right now. And that was the first time that, you know, as in the US or just as an international audience, where we've seen, it not be a men's shooting contest and a women's shooting contest. It's a basketball shooting contest, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that is now just becoming a lot more streamlined, right? And we just have these amazing athletes that allow that to happen. So again, I think it just comes from those athletes who just have that competitive drive, who put in the work to change the game. And then for all the rest of us watching, we get to see the results and watch them succeed. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think to your point there, it's, we get to see them succeed, but we also get to support it. And I think the more support, obviously, we throw at these women in there and that are excelling in their sports, I think the bigger it only gets. So it's really fun to feel like you're a part of something big. And I think a lot of fans maybe feel that when supporting someone like Caitlin, that could definitely potentially change the professional game for women.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. Like, don't get me wrong, I am a CC fan all the way, being a Hawkeye. But I also think it's really cool how in general, people are supporting the women's leagues, right? Like if you look at who's coming out to watch the women's basketball games, you're seeing professionals, male professionals coming out to see the game because it's so competitive. And it's given these young women a platform to be physical, to be loud, to be aggressive, and to do it acceptable versus, from my standpoint, you know, being a bit older, we weren't really allowed to do that, right? That was looked at as like not being like a girl. And today these girls are out there showing that, those stereotypes of being a female, they're kind of being set aside, and we're allowed to show our physicality and aggressiveness in a sport and be supported by all sorts of walks of life. So that's pretty cool from my standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. I do think they do get quite a bit of hate probably still, especially like you'll see players like Angel Reese, and I can't imagine that hate that she deals with just even on like Twitter, let alone every other platform.
Right.
So I think it's something where they're kind of like paving the way for that. Like, yes, we're going to act this way, and yeah, you can hate on us, but we're still going to keep doing it. And I think that has showed testament, because they could have easily like backed down to it or anything like that. But I feel like they've really embraced it and just started calling it out more so, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I can imagine too, I forget who said it, but I saw something on social media where it was about Angel Reese, and it was like, that's a heavy crown, right? Mm-hmm. It's not easy. And I think again, once these athletes, and they're college athletes, right? They're still really young, just become so mainstream. It's not easy, right? And again, depending on the men or women's side or whatever, the higher level that you go or the more exposure that you have, you get more support, but you also get more hate, right? So I think it really is managing that. And again, I just hope that they listen to the more support than the hate, right? Because I think it's really important to vocalize that and be there to support them and everything like that, because they're doing amazing stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Kelly and I were talking about this earlier today, but the tickets in Cleveland, Ohio right now, which are right in Kelly's backyard, are insane right now. They're the cheapest to get into this 20,000 seat stadium is like $900 for a nosebleed. And they go up to, I think, even past $2,000 for a good court seat. And so I think, what are your guys' thoughts on that overall? Do we need a bigger stadium for the girls to play in? Is it just special circumstances with who is in the Final Four this time? What do you guys think?
I can start with this one. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I always just kind of think back to like, first of all, I hope it's like a 20,000-30,000 person arena. I'm not quite sure what it is in Columbus. Kelly, you might know, but the athlete piece of me is like, I hope they get some of that revenue share, right? Because they are the entertainers. They're the one creating that magic. And so I don't know the ins and outs of it. I know it's NCAA, but I really hope that, I know it's changed over time, right? I know there's like NIL and stuff, but I really hope that that also feeds back into the athletes so that, you know, it can keep growing, right? Whether it's basketball, volleyball, whatever. I just think it shows how magical, right, Final Fours are. And especially watching these star athletes compete is really exciting. So it should be fun. Kelly, you're going to go to the game?
You know what? I'm going to watch from my home, but
yeah.
I was going to win on Friday. And because I'm a Hawkeye alum and we belong to the alumni club, I'll get to go watch a practice on Saturday, which would be
so, cool.
So fun. So, I'd love to go, but I'm going to sit at home and watch the game. Had I bought tickets about 2 weeks ago, before we knew who was in the Final Four, they would have been about $200. That's how much they've changed. And my husband just told me, he gave a stat of the Final Four tickets, 40-some percent, right as of today, 40-some percent have been purchased by Iowa Hawkeye fans. So pretty crazy, right?
Wow, it's going to be an Iowa fest, basically.
It might be.
But I will say I'm still a little bit bitter because it's been two consecutive years I was taking out my Buffaloes, my Colorado Buffaloes. So
yeah,
It's bittersweet, but it'll be a great Final Four.
It will be.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, well, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about what Nicole said about these young ladies being in a situation that's so much different than what you were in. You didn't have social media. You didn't have to read the stuff people were saying about you, and what an amazing job these young women have done. I think last year there was a lot of scuttlebutt after the final game, from a basketball perspective, and to watch both teams, all of the athletes on both teams, were amazing. But watching the LSU game, I was so impressed by their ability to compete at that level, but also just to manage all the emotions and whatnot that go along with competing. And how do you get there? How do you get to that place where, you know, you're nervous, you're excited, you're all these things, but you're able to manage those things to still be able to play at that high level? I think that that's such a great example for athletes in general, but from what we run into right at PowerCore 360 with young athletes, female athletes, that's a huge thing for them to be able to see so that it can help them overcome that fear of competition and whatnot. I think it's pretty cool.
Definitely. I know. I think the last game I was playing, the announcers were saying in her one of her interviews, she told the interviewer, they were like, "Are you nervous for this game?" And she's like, "No, I don't really get nervous. I feel the pressure, I get excited, but I'm not nervous." And I think that's something, like you said, is really cool for young athletes to look up to and say, "Okay, like I can be really excited. I can feel pressure for this game. My body, I might be getting some butterflies, but I don't have to be nervous. I can still be confident that I'm able to perform these skills and I'm able to win games and do what I need to do, but I can still feel those same reactions because our body reacts in the same way," which I know, Kelly, you kind of talked about, but I think that's super interesting and cool for some young athletes to really look up to when they're saying that. Nicole, I know with PowerCore 360, you do a how to become a champion and think like a champion, like all these different things for really mindset focused training, which is super important for young athletes. Can you kind of dive into what does that look like for young athletes?
Yeah, gosh, that is a huge broad topic. It can kind of go in all different directions. But I will kind of start off something that Kelly said, and you kind of mentioned it too, right? Of you feel like those butterflies, you can be nervous, excited. But it's not so much like where your nerves take over, right? And I think a huge part of that, from my own experience, but I think just in general, right, is these athletes that are let's say going into the Final Four, right? Since we're right around the corner here, it may be their first Final Four ever, right? Like when they get there, it'll be like a whole new experience. And I think it's different when you get into that moment. At the same time, they've been prepping for this like their entire career, right? And that not only comes from the training piece of it, but I think also from like the visualization, I can say it today, piece of it, right? It's like even before you're going to sleep, right? If you can just like close your eyes and put yourself in that moment of shooting the game winning shot, right? Or, on the volleyball court, you get set. What are you going to do with that game winning swing, right? And putting yourself in that situation ahead of time because you're already going to be overstimulated. You're already going to be excited, right? So it's really doing what you can ahead of time. Again, whether you're really little, shooting baskets into a trash can, right? Something like that. Or even when you're training all that stuff, I think it's really important to always keep visualization top of mind so that when you are in those championship situations, it's not overwhelming, right? You can use those butterflies to your advantage and draw your focus in even more instead of it being like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've been here, and you kind of like forget everything that you've trained for, right? That being said, that can still happen sometimes, right? And there are some athletes do that. They can prep certain ways and do everything that they don't, maybe they don't want those nerves to be there. And maybe game time happens, you're an Olympic gold medal match, and maybe they do show up, right? And so I think it's also, if you are an athlete that falls into that category, or if you're at a qualifier, right, and you're feeling nervous, is also not like denying that emotion, right? I think that's really important. If nerves do creep in sometimes, I think it's just kind of like accepting it, taking a breath, right? And then really focus on what you want to execute, and keeping things always forward looking instead of focusing on mistakes or, oh my gosh, I didn't sleep enough, or I didn't have my favorite snack, right? All those little details. I think it's really important to always be forward looking and always visualizing to what you want to see. And then it happens a lot of the time, right? So I think that's something that's super, super important. That's really easy to do. Again, you can do it on your own before you sleep, before you practice, even better. And it can be a 10-second thing, a 30-second, even longer, right? I think the longer, 5, 10 minutes that you do it, the better. But yeah, I think it's something that's really important. And don't need a court for that. You don't need to, It's for free, right? But I think it's just super important to do that as soon as possible, right? As a young athlete and then into your collegiate professionals and beyond careers.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's some great advice from a very high level athlete for all of the athletes listening right now. That is some really good advice that you can take, especially the visualization piece, which is something that maybe some players don't really ever get taught. And so, yeah, I think that is super cool. Is there anything else that you guys have noticed this year, I guess, women's basketball, volleyball, or any other sports that you kind of want to call out in the women's space?
Nicole, you
want to take it on? Not too much. I think for me, it was more of really seeing, like, on the basketball side, like the Steph versus Sabrina. Like, it's not a men's shooting contest and a women's. It's a combined thing. I think that was just, like, instrumental, like, huge, right? Mm-hmm. Because that also was the first time that we've seen it. And then I think just in general is on the volleyball side, there's so much volleyball now that you can go watch, whether it's on YouTube or ESPN or CBS Sports or live, right? There's so much opportunity out there. And so please go watch, because it's not only supporting the current athletes or the athletes that are a little bit older than you, but it also will make you a better volleyball player. Right. If you're watching people, it's almost like a muscle memory thing. Right. But if you're watching people dig certain balls, hit certain shots, hit at a certain speed, it almost becomes more comfortable for you, and you can see what you're trying to strive to do and to achieve. Right. So I would just encourage everybody. And again, it can be live. It can be replays. It's everywhere. So I really encourage everybody out there to watch as much as you can.
Yeah, I think like people who get to that level of excellence, right? They didn't get there. I mean, we'll use Caitlin Clark because she's so out there right now in the media, but she didn't get there just last year, right? She's been getting to this moment in time since she was a young child, right? She's passionate about it. She's put in countless hours of doing the same basic skill set over and over and over and over, right? And I think that that's something really important for athletes to learn, is that I'll use superstar. A superstar doesn't happen the moment you see them, right? And that game-winning shot, that's not how they became a superstar. They became that athlete over decades of time to get there. I mean, what is she? She's like 22? 23, somewhere in there, right? So she's still a baby to me, right? But she's spent at least how many years playing the game and really putting everything she has into it. And I think that's important for athletes to see. So when you watch these athletes compete at that high level, think about what they did to get there. And if that's what you want, then you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to take that same path to some degree to get to where someone like Nicole, who played internationally, professionally, to someone like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And let's throw out some major volleyball women here. Help me out, ladies.
You got like the Tap sisters, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you got Jordan Thompson, Micah Hancock, Lauren Carlini.
Yeah, right.
Jordan Larson, of course, for our Nebraska fans.
Right. So that didn't happen for them overnight. And I think that's really important for kids to know.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys for this discussion today. I want to wrap up with this, I guess, segment that we do every single episode, and it is social questions. So these can be anything that you guys are currently commenting right now. So audience, if you have any specific volleyball questions that you want us to answer, please comment them now and we will answer those. And then also we have some just questions from audience before this podcast, but we do actually have one from earlier in this live stream, and it was from Instagram. This one, Nicole, you might have a good perspective on it being a setter, but this is actually playing against a setter. So the question is, as a front row player, how do you outplay a setter that loves to dump without trying to block the setter every play, or is it only the back row's job to cover the dumps?
Yeah, I think a big piece of this is team defense, right? So I don't think there's like a like a one answer fits all situation, right? Because it also depends, where is the setter dumping from? Are they dumping front row or back row, right? Are you a front row player? Are you left front, middle front, right front, right? Everybody has different responsibilities. So I think it's just really important is before the play starts, is if you're, let's say you're left front, then you will be covering the setter if the ball is passed into your area, right? Then you can be responsible for blocking them if they're front row. That being said, right before the ball is served, right, there's time to communicate and all that stuff. Then it's really important to be communicating with your back row players to be like, hey, you have setter dump, right? And always having that conversation because volleyball, for better or for worse, is the ultimate team sport. And so it's impossible to score on every kill, dig every setter dump, have all the aces. You really need everybody. You need those three contacts and that collaboration to be successful. So I hope I answered that question. I would just say a lot of eye work, communicate with the people around you to make sure that back row's got it covered. And if you are a front row player, to make sure that if setter's in your zone, she's yours. If she's not in your zone, not your problem, right? But making sure that everybody is aware of that and picking that up, because there is the aggressive setter, right, in that case, but you also may have 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters, right, sometimes that are also coming at you. So you also have to be ready and really proactive for them, right, for them swinging at you.
Definitely. So we just got, that's a great answer, first of all, to kind of a question that really depends too on what your coach is running and all these other factors, but overall, such a great answer for any outsides or anybody else listening that maybe was wondering something like that as well. But we just got another question from Facebook, and this one is, what is the best drill to learn high contact hitting? Kelly, do you want to maybe take this one?
Sure. So from my perspective, it's learning proper mechanics, right? The way that you set up your arm in the beginning of your arm swing allows you to move in a fashion that gets you that high contact right before you contact your hand to the ball. I think one of the things that kids learn today and everything, it's taught ad nauseum and way too much, is for you to lift your elbow up as high as you can as you jump into the air to try to get that high contact. And that is terrible mechanics for your shoulder. The best mechanics are to open yourself up and load yourself in a neutral elbow position. And then as you rotate to come to contact the ball, that elbow should come really high at the end of your arm swing, right before you extend a contact. And that's where you're gonna get that high reach. The high reach doesn't come from your elbow coming up. It actually comes through with your arm coming through straight to the ball to contact high over the tape, over the top of the blocker. So I would say any drill that you can find out there, check out our PowerPort 360 website. We have some nice YouTube videos that you can take a look at that can help you understand the mechanics that you should have and help you understand how to get there. Our Instagram shows some really good swinging techniques as well. So that's a great place to start. But it's how you load up for your swing and where your elbow goes high in the during the swing pattern. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And then we have a couple of questions that we got before the podcast. But again, audience, if you guys have any questions during this time, feel free to comment them right now. The one question that I want to make sure that we address this, I think me and or Billy and I kind of addressed this last week, but I don't know if we really deep dive into it. But it's, if you turn your entire body while swinging, so like you finish to the other side, you can only swing to the left side of the court, ? Is that true?
No, that's not true. I know that's a perceived thing that a lot of coaches and athletes believe that to be true, but you have to think about when you contact the ball or where is the ball in space when you contact it. As you rotate, so my power comes from my rotation. As my set is coming across the net to me, when do I contact the ball? Do I contact the ball when it's right over my shoulder? If I do that and my arm finishes the direction I want my ball to go at contact, and then I finish through, I'm still creating power and my ball's going cross court to like a hard five. If I let the ball travel a little bit further and I contact it more, like I think about, like, you don't want it to, if you want the ball to go cross, it cannot cross your shoulder before you contact it. If you want to go line, you're rotating all the way through, contacting that ball kind of almost at the time that the set's at your nose almost, and then you're contacting and pulling it down the line. So Nicole, you're a setter. Would you agree with that? That it also has to do, like, as the ball's coming over, when do you contact the ball versus rotating your hips?
Yeah, I think from a setter's perspective, it's my job or our job, right, as setter group, is to set a ball to your hitter where they can choose, right? It shouldn't be like, as a hitter, oh my gosh, I only have this one swing, right? Or, oh, I have to tip, right? The ball should be going through the zone, but at a place where it's like, you know, flat and going through the zone where you can pick it off early, hit short cross, right? Pick it off high, hit over the block, right, to the deep corners, or, right, have the ball keep going through the zone, and then you can pick it off and swing down the line, right? So I think from a setter's perspective, and I challenge all the hitters to do that, is just to really increase your communication with your setters. Because if you are in a situation where you feel like, oh my gosh, I only have line all the time, the ball's like super wide or something, right? Like, that's just where it is currently. And maybe your setter doesn't even know, right? So make sure that you have that open dialogue with your setter, if you are a hitter, to make sure that when you're hitting, you should be able to have options, right? And kind of like what Kelly walked through, right? But like wherever your hand finishes is where the ball is probably going to go, right? I think once you get into really high levels of the game, you can do some funky stuff. But for the most part, it's just really important to make sure that you're using your whole body and you can get that full rotation and hit every shot in the book for sure.
I mean, yeah. Sometimes you're going to get a set that, you know, it's slower or faster or further in than what you're calling for. And, you know, you might have to make some adjustments and not fully swing through with your whole body, you know, your entire rotational component, but you should at least get that rotational component to contact. And if the set's wonky or you're not coming in at the angle you should, that should be a rare occasion when you have to swing mostly with your arm or land on one foot. Those things should not be the typical moment.
Yeah, definitely. I think some great answers there and clarified for anybody out there that maybe had those similar questions. I want to end this with some key takeaways. I know we wanted to talk today about how we're seeing these women compete and grow the game, but if you're an athlete right now, maybe a young high school, middle school athlete, what are some ways that you can get out there and grow your competitiveness or get more competitive in your sport? Do you guys have any tips for some athletes?
Nicole, go ahead.
Yeah, I think with this, the most important thing is you have to be really authentic to yourself, right? I think competitiveness and drive and being fiery and whatever when you're competing, it's going to come out for however, I don't even know when people are on the planet now, 8 billion, whatever it is, right? There may be some categories, but everybody is unique. Everybody's their own individual. They've all had their different experiences, right? So when you are competing, I think it's really important to feel very free and just be authentic to yourself in that freedom of expression, right, when you are competing. So I think for the younger athletes, you're still developing that, right, which is great. So I think it's just kind of in the pursuit of feeling that freedom of expression, freedom of emotion. And then as you progress into your career and you become an older athlete, I think it's really dialing that in and almost from an emotional intelligence standpoint of being like, I'm going to use this tool or I'm going to talk to this person a certain way so that myself and the team, right, also gets a positive reaction from that, right? So I think it kind of depends on where you are in your career. But if you're like a really shy person, and you're still a bit shy on the court, and then you try and you force something to be competitive that's not you, it's going to feel a little weird, you know? So I think it's just making sure that you're still stepping out of your comfort zone, right? But you always still stay authentic to yourself wherever you are in your journey.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to end the podcast / live stream today. Thank you guys so much for being here and for sharing all of your guys' knowledge and expertise with everybody. And also, what an exciting time for all women in sports and just sports in general. So thank you guys again for being here. And if you guys, audience, if you guys want to catch more of these Volley Talks, we have 4 that are previously posted. Check them out on YouTube or Instagram. And then also, if you want to watch in the future, we have them every single Wednesday at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, streamed on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So you can check them out on any of those platforms, and we will definitely have some great discussions in the future. So thank you guys all again for being here, and we'll catch you guys next time.
All right.